Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gabriel India Limited Q2 second quarter financial year 2024 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar, Managing Director of Gabriel India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. Very warm welcome to this call. So I'm joined on the call by Rishi Luharuka, our CFO, and Nilesh Jain, our Company Secretary, and our IR advisors, SGA. So, of course, I mean, I'm sure all of you must have had time to look at the results that we published after our board meeting this morning for the quarter ended 30th September 2023. So what I'll do is I'll take you through the presentation, and also while I go through the presentation, I might also speak a bit on the industry as well, and try to give a context of where overall the industry is heading in terms of the automotive, I mean, segments of automotive industry. So coming to slide five, this is, you know, I mean, of course, the summary slide for the quarter that went by, which is, you know, July, August, September. Our revenues of 865 crores, with EBITDA of 75 crores and PBT of 66 crores. So as you can see, we have sustained our.
And a double guide. Open package.
Request everybody to keep it on mute because I'm hearing some disturbance, so thank you. So yeah, I mean, our EBITDA margin and percentage has improved from 8.6% in Q1 to 8.7% now. And similarly, you see the same improvement in PBT from 7.2% to 7.3%. Moving to slide, the next slide, slide number six. This is again for Q2, H1. Let's go to H1. Yeah, if you see slide seven, which talks about H1 since we finished half year, our revenue was 1,670 crores, so the highest ever revenue for a quarter. And growth compared to last half year was 9.6%, and I'm happy to share that the EBITDA improvement for the same half year is 31.4%. So this is what, you know, we have been trying to do, as we have discussed in several calls earlier, trying to improve our margins, you know, quarter on quarter. Coming to slide number eight, which is, you know, the, again, the financial track record in terms of, you know, quarter on quarter and FY is listed there. So I'm not repeating the figures, but just to share that, you know, our Core 90 savings program, which me and Rishi have shared with you all along, that is going on strong. EBITDA margin has increased by 6.3 crores, and net margin increase is by 5.3 crores. Moving to slide nine, which is, you know, the, again, trend in the graphical format. So margin trend is very clear there, and so is the ROC. So ROC for this quarter was at 38.1%. Coming to slide number 11, again, you know, the financial numbers in again, a graphical format. And slide number 12 is the key ratios. But the important thing here is, of course, we declared our interim dividend today at rupees 1.5 per share, which is almost 24% payout ratio. For this is, as I said, the interim dividend for the year. Slide number 13 shares the segment mix. You know, this is, I mean, you can see clearly that the passenger car segment mix has improved. It has gone to 25%, and two-wheeler has reduced to 61%. This is more by the way of improved, you know, share of business in passenger car, as well as overall passenger car market doing well. Since you're on this slide, I'd like to share that the market has, passenger car market is holding steady and showing really robust performance as far as the industry is concerned. In the first half, we have already done 2 million cars, and the main growth is in, as was seen earlier, main growth is in the SUV segment, where Gabriel is also very strong. So we have seen almost almost a 7% growth in terms of the passenger car, and with a robust pipeline or waiting list or order book for passenger cars, we are very sure that this year, for the whole year, we'll see another record for the passenger car segment in India. Two-wheelers is more or less flat, while there was a thought that this might improve in terms of the overall sentiment, since the market has absorbed the price increase that has taken place, and the rural segment is, the sentiment is coming back, but we are still yet to see strong numbers in two-wheelers. And coming to electric vehicles within the two-wheelers, I mean, the scooters are steadily selling around 60,000 per month, which had come down to 45,000 after the FAME II was removed in May. But it's coming back now to 63, and this month, obviously, we are expecting, and the whole industry is expecting, really record sales in all segments. The stock levels for passenger car are around 50-55 days at the dealers. This is more in terms of in expectation of the solid demand that everybody is seeing, and even in two-wheelers, the stock demand is pretty robust. Coming to commercial vehicle, which is 12% of the segment mix, as you can see from this slide 13, that segment also has done well with more than 10% growth, and we are actually seeing an increased buying by commercial vehicle manufacturers, in the last couple of, and last month and this month and going forward, what we are being told is there is a revival of the replacement cycle by the fleets. So this is helping improve the commercial vehicle pickup in the industry. Now on this slide, in terms of the channel mix, 86% is OE, 12% is aftermarket, so that remains more or less unchanged. Slide number 14 is on the balance sheet. I think you have had to look at the figures. Cash flows also, slide number 15. The debtor days and the inventory days have reduced, which is what, our focus on cash is continues to be very strong, and we will continue to try to improve this further. So this is, in terms of slide number 16 is our cost reduction drive, our core initiative, which, is helping us immensely in terms of improving our margins. That continues. And 17 just recaptures the vision, which is to be among the top five based on four founding blocks, the exports, domestic dominance, M&A, and technology. Now, slide 19 is the slide on exports. Yes, the quarter did see a dip in exports, mainly because our exports to Colombia were very low because they had stocked up earlier. The production should revive in this quarter. Definitely, it may not come to the level of 31 crores which we had in Q1, but it will be close to that. Coming to the individual segments, this is slide number 21 is on the two-wheeler and three-wheeler segment, where our market share is now 32%. We have got the business award for the HMSI commuter segment, which is Shine 100. That continues to do well. And in addition, of course, we have on the new platform of Ola, the S1 Air and the Gen 2, both Gabriel continues to be 100%. We also got some new orders from Gogoro and Ather, etc., including the TI, the Tube Investments, vehicle as well. Going forward, if you go to slide number 22, which is the, which is a good story as far as Gabriel is concerned, our penetration in EV, two-wheelers, is very strong, and our share of this is almost 80%, because now, in fact, all the top manufacturers use Gabriel suspension. So, you be it Ola, TVS, Ather, except Bajaj there. I mean, all of them, you can see on the slide number 22 in the box, use Gabriel suspension. So, that is good news. And slide number 23 is on the bicycle, e-bicycle suspension, which I had shared in several last calls. There is some new foray as far as we are concerned. We have given the first 1,000 front forks in Germany, and in fact, our team members were there in Germany to understand first-hand feedback from the dealers. The feedback is quite positive as far as quality is concerned. We only have to improve further in terms of the weight, which is being addressed, and we are going to give a, you know, even lightweight suspension, and you know, see how it goes from there. Coming to the next important segment, which is passenger car, where we saw the improvement as far as segment mix is concerned. This is mainly because the UV segment grew at 30%, and we have got you know, the Maruti Jimny, the Grand Vitara, the Toyota Highrider, Thar, XUV700. All these vehicles are with Gabriel, so this definitely, and of course the Brezza, the Maruti Brezza is also with Gabriel. So all this translated into good sales, and thereby we improved our market share also, and overall segment mix of passenger car has improved. We also have won a new platform from Maruti Suzuki, which is again an SUV segment car, and there is also plan of Maruti of making Jimny, and making Maruti India a base for the Jimny exports. So this will also improve our, you know, they have revised the Jimny production upwards for next year. This is also good news for us. And yes, this slide number 24 shows the pictures of all the SUVs. I missed mentioning the Volkswagen and the Skoda SUVs, which are also doing well. We are 100% sourced with them as well. Coming to slide 26, which is the commercial vehicle, where we have a dominant market share. Of course, mirrors the industry. And we are looking at some breakthrough in export orders in terms of commercial vehicles, building on the DAF order that we have already got. In terms of cabin dampers, we already got the RFQ for some axle dampers from DAF of Netherlands. So that should definitely add to our overall content per DAF truck going forward. Railways, nothing new to share here, other than to say that yes, we are there on everything that railway needs, Indian Railway needs, and you know, also the volumes are doing better than what we had expected, and I would say even for this year, the same trend should continue. Aftermarket, again, good growth. We have achieved 9% growth over Q2 of last year. And even if you see H1, half year to half year, it's 11% compared to last year. Yes, the aftermarket as such is getting a little difficult in the current months, but we will continue to maintain this good growth portfolio, good growth trend in aftermarket as well. In terms of M&A, which was one more key foundation block for vision, as you know, we have done the Inalfa Gabriel sunroof systems in Chennai. Happy to share that we have already dispatched our first sunroof assembled in our factory in Chennai, and they have been supplied to Hyundai. These are, of course, first samples, the fitment trials, etc. is happening. happy to share that the entire line, including the robots and the PU encapsulation machine, etc., everything, including the people, after being trained in Korea, are all ready now, geared up fully for start of production in January. Also, I had shared last time that we have opened a Gabriel Europe Engineering Center called GEC. We call it GEC, these are the actual pictures that you see of our engineering center. The two photos that you see are actual engineering center photos. You can see some of our team members also there. And this has already started functioning. We have two expat employees on board, and the plan is to keep on improving this. This is located in Genk in Belgium, right next door to the Ford proving track, which is, you know, a very strategic location when we have to do the testing for the vehicles that, you know, that we will do. This is particularly working in the area of semi-active suspension, where you develop the four-wheeler as well as the two-wheeler. The trials are, going on. Yes, and the tech center I had already shared. I'll not share further on the presentation. Now it's, I'll hand it over back to the moderator, and keen to listen to your questions, your inputs and suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes with Mamuksh Mandlesha with the company of Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity and happy festive season to the management. Sir, starting with just a few questions on the results, sir. The gross margin was lower Q&Q. Should it be because of the lower aftermarket and export share, sir? And if I can add further, the employee cost also had jumped by 9% Q&Q. Any reason for that, and what could be sustainable number for the employee cost?
Mumuksh, we are not able to hear your question. Can you take the receiver and pull away from your mouth and speak?
Yeah, it's not clear, sir. Better, sir?
Yeah.
So I was asking is that the gross margin was lower this quarter, Q and Q. Should the adverse mix the reason for the lower margin because the aftermarket export was lower Q and Q? And also on the employee cost, which has jumped 9% Q&Q, any reason for that? And what would be sustainable numbers for the employee cost going ahead?
So the gross margin that you see is, you're talking about QOQ?
Yeah.
Not YOY, right? Okay. So that is obviously, just a mix. Yes, exports, as I said, exports is a little down. It's a factor of the mix that has happened to some extent. What was your second question?
Employee cost has jumped 9% Q&Q. Any increase and reason for the increase, sir?
I am assuming you're saying almost the employee cost, right?
Yeah, employee, yes, employee cost.
Essentially, we've done some amount of restructuring in terms of the compensation structure, and as a result, there has been a little extra cost in this quarter on account of actual valuation. So that is what is impacting the employee cost.
So this number can be similar number, right, sir?
Yeah, more or less, it should be in that range.
Got it, sir. Better, sir, now, sir?
Yeah.
So I was saying, sir, three-wheeler EV share, which is around 8% currently. And so what would you plan to ramp up that as the three-wheeler EV also see a good potential, sir?
Three-wheeler EV share, we are actually, if you see the organized players, we are very well entrenched. So the Kinetic Green and the Mahindra Treo and the Bajaj EV three-wheeler, I mean, all three are with us. So these are the main players. But if you see, even there's a mix of many players that also are happening there. That's why we we are a little low on the CV compared to the two-wheeler EV segment.
Right, sir. And sir, on the suspension business, sir, how are we seeing some of the competitors in both India and overseas place in terms of profitability? Do you see opportunity of acquisitions in the suspension area?
Most, I mean, yes, of course, I cannot be specific, but yes, there are definitely opportunities globally. And in fact, we had looked at one opportunity earlier, but for obvious reasons, we cannot go ahead with that. But yes, there are, to answer your question, there are definitely are opportunities in the globe. And as we discussed, we are scanning for any possibility.
Got it, sir. And just lastly, on the sunroof side, any new update on the order win, sir? And also on the suspension side, you mentioned about the Gogoro. So can you talk about the potential of this new order win, sir?
Well, Gogoro, I'll come back to that. If the order is not very big, but yeah, we won the order. I'll just come back to you on the figure. On the sunroof side, our focus, of course, is currently to get this, SOP where you got the order from Hyundai Kia, started. Parallelly, as I had shared, we have discussed with several Indian OEMs. So we have got, I can only say that we have got some RFQs, and we are in discussions and responding to those RFQs as of now. So no new order wins, but yes, our discussions are on. The good part is, starting only, we announced in the month of May, and we already have got a couple of RFQs.
And just on the Gogoro, sir?
Gogoro is the peak sale value is 20 crores annual sale.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes with the line from the line of Viraj with the company Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a couple of questions. First is on the employee cost, just a clarification. You said that the run rate of 50 crores is what we should kind of revert to back in Q3, right?
At a similar volume. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I think there's roughly around 4 crores of impact because of revision and gratuity.
Yes, and there are also increase in the minimum wages that has also been taken care of.
Okay, got it. Second question is on the, the engineering and R&D center in Europe. Just to give a perspective, what kind of investments do you have made, on an annual basis in terms of P&L?
Right now, the investment is, not much. I mean, we are not putting any big investment there than, other than some, testing equipment. That will also come mostly in the next financial year. It will be more of, people cost that will be there because we'll be engaging people and we don't want to duplicate the test facilities both in Gabriel Chapman as well as there. So we'll do a minimum investment model. Do all the main testing in the tech center in Japan.
Okay, so once, the center is full-fledged up and running, do you have any particular, budget in mind in terms of how we're looking at it? Is it more of a cost center or we would also kind of?
Yeah, as of now, that is the model, but
Viraj, essentially, it's a center that is going to only work on the future technology. The idea here is to generate intellectual properties, whether registered or not. So effectively, whatever we are going to spend, either in Belgium or whatever counterpart we are going to create or we have created in Pune Tech Center facility, that is going to be a part of the patent cost. So it will be a capitalized value. roughly, given our plans, 10-12 crore rupees a year is what we are looking at in terms of investing every year towards this.
Okay, so that will be capital nice. Okay. Second question is largely on the Inalfa JV. So you said that we have commercialized, the plant is ready and we started with the fitment trial. So the initial capacity would be 4 lakh, right?
2 lakh.
Sorry?
200,000.
So we earlier talked about setting up 2 lines, one each of 2 lakh units.
So 200,000 will be the capacity currently.
Okay, and in terms of ramp up, how should one really understand?
Well, we'll start from the month of January, and the ramp up will be steep in terms of rupee crore. Well, we really cannot be sharing those figures. So, effectively, each line is 200,000. We are currently starting with one line, and depending upon the future orders, we'll be adding more lines. And the first year itself, we would be utilizing roughly around 60% of the capacity.
Understood. And this, any update you can give in terms of the other new product initiatives? I think what we talked about is in the second half, we may have something in terms of probably one more product addition or, anything on those lines.
So we have mentioned next fiscal is what we are planning the second part, because we are just integrating this Inalfa right now. And as I said, in terms of new product addition, we have started the e-bicycle front fork. That is also something that we have started. So we'll wait for the next fiscal.
Okay, fine. Sure, I'll come back in. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Amit Hiranandani with Smith Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, team. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, first on the CV side, so we are happy to see that Gabriel India has high market share in the CV segment. Can you please help us with that secret ingredient of maintaining such a high share? And how much of the same is sustainable for the next 5 years? And also, if you can highlight who are the existing competitors in this category?
Yeah, thanks for your remarks. So on CV side, we have held this kind of market share for quite some time. And as you know, there have been players in this segment, but it's a mix of several things. One is the experience, mainly in terms of understanding the CV market, having the competence in terms of development of the products which offer value to the commercial vehicle customers, and while keeping in mind the cost also is important, so that experience resides with us, and of course the customer relationships. And the other part is in CV, it's a high variety and low volume game. It's a little different when compared to passenger car, obviously I'm not comparing the two-wheelers, which are high volume. This is high variety, low volume game. So that is something that we have learned and we do well at it. So these are some of the factors that hold us in good stead as far as CV is concerned. And our response, our service levels in terms of quality, cost, delivery have been excellent. In terms of product development, I'm happy to share that just a couple of weeks back, we won the Technology and Innovation Award from Volvo Eicher, competing with the best in the technology, competing with, Bosch's and Continental's of the world. Gabriel was awarded this, Technology and Innovation Award for our product, not our, for our product, in proprietary products, in fact, in the entire space of proprietary products. So all this put together, Amit, I think this augurs well for us.
Okay, happy to hear that you're winning new innovating awards for competing with the global players. So
not only the current business, but you're winning
We are developing new products for them as and when they want. And as we speak, we are working on new products to address the global CV industry as well. And your other question was on going forward 5 years, whether we'll be able to hold the market share. Well, I think you've done that for so long. So I would dare say that yes, we should continue.
Great. So my second question on the sunroof business. So just curious to know, you know, why Gabriel is little slow in sunroof capacity expansion. The company is setting up only 2 lakh units capacity, whereas, you know, your competitor Webesto already has 5 lakh capacity and is going to near double to 9.5 lakh units in the next, you know, coming few years. So just your remark on this, please.
Yeah, so Webesto has been here for some time. You know, Webesto has been here for at least over 2 years. So we have just announced this venture in the month of May. So as I said, important thing would be first to get this one line fully utilized, and parallelly we are working on the second line. And you know, of course, yes, working to get new business orders from you know, the other other than Hyundai Kia customers. So
okay. Sir, continuing with this, so approximately our estimated sunroof industry size is about 13 to 14 lakh units in FY24. And I just wanted to know if you have this data. Out of this number, how much percentage roughly is exported from India? And if you can, you know, name few of the models which get exported with sunroof.
You're talking sunroof exports or the
cars with the sunroof which get exported from India?
No, I mean, unfortunately, I don't have that figure, but yeah, I mean, OE-wise, it is different, so it's difficult for me to revert on that, but let's we'll get back to you.
Okay. Sir, just last one question on the two-wheeler side. How much, you know, the how much more is the price of one shock absorber in electric two-wheeler? Or if you can, you know, throw some percentage, how much is, you know, the realization is higher than the EV?
We have answered this earlier in the sense that there is practically no difference between EV and non-EV shocks, especially in two-wheelers. So the price also, in fact, our realization may be a little better in two-wheelers because, you know, these are new players. So realization is better, but as far as product is concerned, it's pretty much the same.
No, I mean, the comparing with the EV two-wheeler versus EV, two-wheeler IC. So the two-wheeler EV shock absorber price is a little bit higher, right?
It is higher, but the product remains more or less the same.
Okay, sir. Thank you. I'll come back to you.
Sure.
The next question comes from the line of Akshay Kadwa with Amit Hathi. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. Sir, could you talk about the industry performance in H2? How do you see the growth for the two-wheeler industry, passenger vehicle, and commercial vehicles? Any production schedule that has been shared with you which will help with the growth, sir?
Like I mentioned, the CV order book looks to be quite strong. The CV players are going for replacement demand, I mean the fleet replacement cycle. So CV order seems to be quite strong. Coming to passenger car, I already mentioned the order book has come down slightly at least, and now you have vehicles available when you go to buy. The vehicles have come down. But order book is strong, so even CV should definitely fall in the range of, you know, 8 to 10%. CV will be definitely 10+%. Two-wheeler is what I mentioned, that while there's expectation that it should improve, but we are still seeing a very flat kind of good track. I'm talking ICE two-wheelers.
ICE two-wheelers. Got it, sir. And lastly, on the electronic air suspension, so just a basic question. So when do you think the average Indian customer would want to move towards such kind of suspensions? How do you see this market evolve from traditional suspensions that we have today to electronic air suspensions? Like, when do you see such kind of a shift happen? And what would be the approximate price difference today, sir, between the same?
So, you know, the electronic suspension is, even if you see globally, it does not come in mass market cars. Okay. So, where the average price of a car itself is very high, like, you know, Europe or US or Japan, the developed nations.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, the percentage of active suspension or semi-active, basically electronic suspension, is pretty low. I mean, less than 10%. So, for that to come to India in a mass market is a, you know, to be a almost a good point. Nevertheless, you should have the product in your portfolio as far as, you know, technology is concerned. And many a times it so happens that the higher variant or the highest variant will have the they may give an option at an additional cost. You know, simply because the cost of this is so high that in some models it is given at an additional cost. You want active suspension to get it at additional cost.
Got it. And what would be the approach price difference? Let's say if your traditional suspension is 1x, so how much would the electronic suspension would be of that, like approach, ballpark number, sir?
It'd be more like 2.5-3x.
2.5-3x. Perfect, sir. So thank you so much, sir. That's all from my side, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of JKO with Lotto Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, and thanks for taking my question. So my first question is regarding, you know, your orders. So if you see, you've got a pretty decent share and increasing share in two-wheeler ICE, similar with two-wheeler EVs. And also in the passenger vehicle, in the UV side, you're getting decent orders. Could you comment a little more about your order outlook for passenger vehicle EV side? Because, you know, typically now, you know, probably in next 12 to 18 months, you will see a lot of EVs being launched by the legacy OEMs in India. And, you know, the development time would be closer to at least 2 to 3 years or maybe at least 24 months. So any color you can throw on that piece of the business? And is the order wins, getting order wins in that piece a little more difficult or easier? If you can just throw some light on how the competitive landscape is different in that segment versus your other three pieces.
If you see the EV passenger car, the penetration is at 1%, and again, while there was a good improvement somewhere in Q4 of last fiscal, the volumes are more or less, you know, if you see last 4 to 5 months, it's around 7,000, in that range, 7,000 to 8,000. So it will still take time because, one, the cost is still high and people still don't buy it as the first car. It is always still a second car consideration. So it will still take some time for that market to really, you know, go, penetration to improve in terms of EV four-wheelers. Having said that, our let's say, penetration or share of business in EV passenger car is low because the main player there is Nexon. Nexon is, you know, the Nexon EV itself is about 70% of the overall EV market in passenger cars. So that's why where we are not existing. However, we have got a new model of Tata Motors which we are developing currently, which will go on the EV as well. It has got both ICE and EV, so we are there, so that will definitely start. We are there on the, it's a very small volume, but the Peugeot Citro, the EC3 that has been introduced, we are there on that model, that is 100% because, and we are not there on MG. So these are the main, I would say the main three EV players in India, and the fourth is Mahindra XUV. Again, that platform is not with us. It's the same suspension. So your other related question was, you know, I mean, is it something different, or are there some different considerations? No, I don't think so. It's just a tuning of the shock absorber has to be done differently. It's pretty much the same technology and the same product. Only it has to be engineered to meet the rider handling characteristics which are needed to be changed, because the EV weight distribution is totally different and the battery is all heavy at the bottom. So to that extent, it changes. Having said that, we are also investing further in our tech center in noise testing equipment, so that we are, you know, very well prepared to ensure that our suspension is as silent as it can be, because the in-cab noise is obviously going to reduce as we go along. So that's what I have to share as far as EV four-wheeler is concerned.
Understood. This is helpful. And second, on your margin side, you know, we've now come to a steady state 8.5-8.6% margin, at least in the last couple of quarters. You had historically mentioned that, you know, your target is to reach, 10% or double digits, irrespective of the commodity scenario or the mix scenario. It's more about your internal cost efficiencies. You know, we have seen some bit of benefit on the commodity side probably in the last couple of quarters. So, how should one think about your margins in the next 1 or 2 years? Are we on track to reach that double digit with, you know, without the commodity benefit coming in?
So, Jay, actually, on the contrary, this quarter, you're seeing a bit of an impact on the gross margins. That's on account of a different index being used by different customers and on the supplier side. So, close to a 0.3% impact is on account of sort of commodity rather than a positive effect. So, in line to what we have been saying, that irrespective of the commodity, we have the endeavor of reaching the double digit. We are on that track. We have sort of exhibited in the last two quarters. The plan is to continue with this trend. And again, in terms of what will be the secret sauce, well, 490 is the answer, which is essentially encompassing all the projects that we have planned to undertake to reach the double digit.
Great. Thanks and all the best going forward.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next question comes from Nikhil with Simple. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening. I hope I'm audible.
Yes.
Yeah, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just two questions. One is continuing on this margin trajectory of double digits. Now, when we had met last time, you had mentioned that if we categorize our margin across buckets, an increasing CV contribution actually puts a pressure on our margins. Now, in order to reach that 10% or double digit, how would the mix between the different categories have to play out? So, which of these categories you would say, or segments you would say, have to scale up so that even though our PV order mix keeps on increasing, our margins can reach that double digit? That is one. And second was, I'm just curious to understand, we have a very strong R&D center in Japan, which we had visited, and we have done a lot of work on the R&D side. Why did we put a R&D center in Belgium? Was it like on behalf of our customer, or what strategic advantage does this give us?
Talked about Japan, which was that name? Sorry. You said there's some Japan, so I didn't
understand. I didn't say anything on Japan. So I said, why did we put a R&D center in Belgium while we have a center in Japan? So, just wanted to understand what advantage does it provide?
Oh, it is. But it's not Japan, it's Takan.
Yeah.
Okay,
sorry.
I heard it as Japan. Okay, so I'll come to the first question, Nikhil. Thanks for the compliment. As far as our EBITDA margin, yes, certainly the mix has to play a role there. That's why we are targeting, obviously adding products to the aftermarket, using our range, setting the safety areas, things products are also traded, using the people, brand name of that. That is one part. The second is the railways. So we have developed all the products for railways. So railway, while the top line is not very big, I've always maintained, but it does contribute to the bottom line. It will definitely play a part in terms of margin improvement towards product mix. The third would be exports, where we are working on. As I said, we have now the DAF where we are supplying the cabin dampers. Now finally we have got, as what we had planned for, we have now got the axle damper RFQ as well. So exports will also play an important role in terms of margin improvement and sustenance. So these would be the areas whereby we will try to, address it through the mix part. Having said that, passenger car, we did mention it is the most, competitive market. But nevertheless, we have, as we had discussed, we have been pursuing with OEMs for some compensation. And yes, we are also looking at, some improvement in terms of the realization as far as passenger car is concerned, even in the current scenario. So that was for the first part of margin improvement. Second, you asked about, why we are set up in Belgium. Now this center has been developed, set up mainly to address the passenger car segment, mainly also to get some expertise on the semi-active suspension, which is mainly in the passenger car. Two-wheelers also used to a very small extent, and we are working, we actually developed our first two-wheeler, we ran it in a test track in Belgium already last week. But the main focus is for semi-active suspension in passenger car segment. And that is where the skill and the competence resides. Europe is, Europe, the technology levels of Europe definitely are, as far as passenger car is concerned, we all would agree it is among the best. And that knowledge does not reside in India for sure. We actually don't even have anybody with that experience in India. And we have narrowed down on, a geography which is right next door to the Ford proving track, which gives easy access for us to do the testing. Second, it is also a good area, very close to Netherlands, close to Germany, close to France. So it is very easily accessible for us to, locate somebody there and visit any customer within, literally a 3-hour drive, 1-hour to 3-hour drive. And the third point is there are a lot of good universities around that area, where we are able to access some good talent as well going forward. So all these three put together, it was to be in Europe, so we finally narrowed down to Belgium and the facility there is also quite a beautiful facility at a very, very reasonable price.
Based on this technology R&D investment which we are doing, is there any related product which you can develop and probably try to enter a similar product to a suspension or a related or ancillary kind of a product? Because we are investing like 10 crores every year behind this R&D. So is it only for one product, or do you think there we can develop more products using this technology advantage? And secondly, on the margin side, if exports, aftermarket, and the other pieces have all to add up, would you say that these three or four segments have to become like 20-25% of our business for us to reach a double-digit margin?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have clearly said long-term ambition also has been to take exports and aftermarket to that range of 20-25%. Definitely, that's the plan. I think if there's any other product, no, right? It will be mainly this will not. As we see this help in any other product, but once you have a footprint in Europe, it opens up doors. It definitely opens up doors. We have already seen some benefits in terms of some new opportunities have come up. Unless you have feet on the ground, things don't happen.
Sure, thanks a lot. Yeah, I'll come back.
The The next question comes from Rajit with Individual. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I just have a few questions. One is on the utility vehicle segment. Utility vehicle segment has been outperforming the other segments of the passenger cars for quite some time now. Do you think the trend is sustainable, and do you see similar kind of growth going into FY25 as well?
You mean the utility vehicle share of the market?
Yeah, the share of the market as well, and your growth within the utility vehicle segment.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we are definitely seeing this UV. See, currently, the UV forms about 52 to 54% of the overall passenger car pie. It is expected to reach to a level of 60 to 65% in India. So there is definite room for it to grow further. Entry level sedans as well as the hatchbacks are the ones that are taking a beating. So this UVs will definitely improve. And as far as we are concerned, we have a good order pipeline for the UVs. So let's say we are now working with Volkswagen for the current UVs. We already have got the new platform nomination. We have got a new SUV of Maruti. That order also is with us. And there's also one Tata Motors vehicle which is with us. So yes, certainly we see a good traction with regard to Gabriel and SUV segment.
Right, sir. Thank you. And another question on going back to the JV for the sunroof. Earlier, I think there was an estimate or a number which was shared of a peak turnover of more than 1,000 crores.
Yes.
I believe that would include both the lines, the 4 lakh lines. Now we are saying initially we will only focus on the 2 lakh capacity. So does that mean for now we are looking at a peak turnover of approximately 500 crores? And a related question actually is, recently another industry participant signed an LOI to set up a JV for sunroof. So does that have anything to do with them, looking at a lower number?
No. It's nothing to do with that. We had announced this number earlier itself, not today. So 1,000 crores was with 2 lakhs, yes. As I said, it takes time. We have been lucky that we got the first order quite soon. We have put up the plant in July and we are supplying from January. It doesn't happen normally, but that's due to the partner and the order that we have with Hyundai Kia. So initially it's the first line you have to stabilize and then the second line will come. I don't think that we are taking any, or let me put this way, we are not going to leave any opportunity unanswered as far as sunroof is concerned. And if it calls for us, if the demand is so that we have to put up one more line, let's say even in a different geography, we are completely ready for it.
And to clarify, we are not changing the numbers that we had shared earlier. We are saying that as of now, we are stabilizing the first line and thereafter we are going to follow it with the second line.
Right. Thank you.
Next question. The next question comes from Viraj with Simple. Please go ahead.
One of them, the first line which we set up. So I think 60%, if you look at targeting 50% in the first year itself, it's a very good scale up which we are looking at. So in the second line, what is it typically a lead time for one to establish it? Either at existing or any other new location?
Can you repeat it once more?
Yeah, so I'm saying that, for us looking at, say, around 60% utilization in the first year itself is a very good target to, you know, achieve. But if you have to look at adding second line, usually what is the lead time for one to do that, either at a new location or existing?
No, existing location, we have ensured that we have enough space to put one more line. I mean, that's how we have planned it, you know, in that Chennai factory itself. So putting up a new building is not required, but getting the new line, that development period would be close to 30 odd weeks.
Okay. And the supply ramp up which we are looking at would include both Hyundai and Kia as well, because I think even for Seltos we were looking at.
Hyundai and Kia, not Seltos, but these are the model of Kia.
Okay, so this would include, the 60% would include both the OEs.
No, it is only Hyundai. This is only Hyundai. The Kia one will kick in from January 25.
Okay.
And it will take the utilization even higher.
Understood. And once the operation kind of stabilizes, I think earlier we had shared about double-digit operating margin after adjusting for all the royalty payouts. So this still holds true for the business?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And last question was on the CapEx part. You know, we earlier shared about plus 100 crore CapEx on the standalone entity. But if you look at the first year half, you know, we kind of spent around 35 crore. So are we still, is there any revision or are we still looking at that kind of a CapEx outlay?
So I mean, 120 crores of the CapEx on standalone the total commitment that we do, that we will do. The cash flow will be obviously different in different parts of the year. Our rough estimate still stands at 100 crores. It can be a little sort of, the payout can happen overflow in the 24-25 as well.
Understood. Okay, fine. Okay, thank you. Good luck.
Thank you. The next question comes from Amit Hirandani with Business Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, any talks with the group for reducing the royalty payment?
Yes, we did discuss when we met last time that, you know, we of course have noted all your inputs. Is all that we can say right now.
Okay. Sir, how much royalty Gabriel has paid to its technology partners in FY23?
What figure is there? In FY23.
I mean, I'll come back to you. It's around 40 million. I'll come back.
About 4 odd crores.
But that's there in the annual report as well.
Yeah, it's in the annual report. Yeah.
Okay. So this last question on the FSD tech. So any client addition or product wins on this FSD side?
Yeah, so we are working with two clients, two other OEMs, you know, who like this technology. Not yet resulted in a business, but we have developed the suspension. We are actually fitting it on their vehicle and testing it out.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
The next question comes from Srikhan, private investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So just want to understand the competitive landscape in the PE segment. You are at 25% share. How much would be the other players?
So number one is Tenneco. They have I would say close to 40%, and the other player is Mando, who is Anand Group JV company only. They tell the Hyundai and Kia, which is about 25%.
Okay. Thank you so much. So Motherson is not in this space?
Yeah, they have a JV with, it's Motherson Magneti Marelli.
Oh, okay.
That's only one plant, which mainly does exports, to Italy.
Fine, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes our question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Manoj Kolhatkar for his closing comments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you all for those interesting questions and your opinions. So, yeah, we are quite happy that we have been able to deliver on what we have been telling in terms of margin improvement, in terms of even growing ahead of market. Yes, and we are very excited with this new JV and the new sunroof plant. And yeah, I was there last week. It was very heartening to see the first new products being dispatched to our customer. So yeah, I think it's a good note for all of us to start the festive season. So all I can wish everybody is very, very happy and safe Diwali and a prosperous new year, and look forward to meeting you in the next call. So thank you so much.
On behalf of Gabriel India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.